EI and You is produced by PLS, a leadership and organizational development firm in Central New York, offering an array of services to affect both individual and organizational transformation. In this series, we explore why emotional intelligence is important from a leadership and organizational development perspective.
If you look at the obstacle as the stepping stone to the new opportunity, then I think it has a tendency of shifting energy and getting people really enthusiastic about following you.
One of the things, Mark, that really hinders positive outlook are people's assumptions that just because it happened in the past, that's the way it's going to happen again.
What is emotional intelligence, or EI as it is often called, and how can it help a business improve its performance? What are the elements? How can it be strengthened? Welcome to EI and You. I'm your host, Mark Mangiacaro, and over the course of this series, we are discovering the answer to those questions and much more. Joining me again today are Ralph Simone and Cindy Massengill, experts in the field of emotional intelligence. Ralph, is positive outlook just another way of saying being optimistic?
Not in total. I think in part it's being optimistic, but it's also recognizing the current reality that you're in. I think we want to blend, for credibility's sake, you don't want to just seem like you're looking at every business situation through rose-colored glasses.
Along those lines, if you come across as being too positive, don't you run the risk of getting labeled as a Pollyanna?
I think you can. And I think you can lose the ability to inspire people to follow you. So, you know, one of the things that story that comes from Good to Great is the Stockdale paradox, which I think is a good way of framing this competency of positive outlook. And for those of you that don't know the story, Admiral Stockdale was, I think, the longest-running senior officer that was a prisoner of war in the Vietnam conflict. And when he was asked the secret to success for surviving, he actually talked about there's three types of people in POW camps. The pessimists, they don't survive, right, because they're not hopeful of a better outcome. But he also said that the optimists don't survive because while they're hopeful of a better outcome, they ignore the reality of the current situation. He said it's the realists. So I think positive outlook has an element of realism. A leader is aware of the brutal facts of their current reality, but they're hopeful of a better outcome in that the energy that they project gives people confidence that they can get through this difficult situation.
So what we're saying then is you want to be a pragmatist, but still remain positive.
Absolutely, Mark. And I think what fits really, really perfectly with this competency is a story that we told in an earlier podcast about a leader presenting to the rest of the organization after there's been a layoff of 30 people. The leader that's standing up in front of the group and presenting in almost a, you know, rah-rah, everything's going to be okay, can be unbelievable to the rest of the organization. And people can feel like they're almost out of touch with what's really going on. In a separate example, a different leader standing up in front of that same group of people and really being open and honest about what the realities are about the situation, acknowledging that this is difficult and that there's some feelings that are uncomfortable going on with the situation, that can be more of a positive outlook because they understand and they're more relatable to the entire organization.
Maybe the glass half full versus half empty. Look, you know, some water came out of the glass, but the glass is still half full, and
yes,
we're going to get it more full going forward.
Yes, and recognizing that this is difficult now, but being hopeful that there will be better days to come and that everybody is getting through that difficult situation together.
So hope could be a theme of positive outlook?
I think hope and opportunity. And so if you ask yourself and others the question, what's the opportunity embedded in this difficult situation? Because energetically, if you look at it through the opportunity lens, it's much higher level energy, and we've got a greater chance of getting people excited about following us in digging out of this hole.
Maybe framing things as a challenge as opposed to an obstacle?
Exactly. There's a couple books. I mean, a challenge or the obstacle is the way. If you look at the obstacle as the stepping stone to the new opportunity, then I think it has a tendency of shifting energy and getting people really enthusiastic about following you.
One of the things, Mark, that really hinders positive outlook are people's assumptions that just because it happened in the past, that's the way it's going to happen again. And so that's really one thing to look for when you're talking about positive outlook, is to make sure that you're not assuming just because certain things happened a certain way in the past, they're going to happen that same way again.
There's a quote, and I wish I could remember who to properly attribute it to, but it says that the future owes no obligation to the past to repeat it.
Perfect.
Nice.
You know, I wish I could remember who said it, but
somebody will know.
Right now, you said it, Mark.
Yeah.
But you know, one of the things that this is really relatable to not where we've been in the competencies and where we're going. So the importance of recognizing and leaning into a feeling of feeling like this is really awful and allowing that feeling to be processed allows you to then become more optimistic or more positive of what could be done, which then leads to kind of one of the next competencies of empathy. So that Cindy had said in earlier podcasts, these are linked. There's an interdependency among these competencies. But, importance of finding ways to shift our energy, but only after recognizing that there is something to feel badly about.
And maybe that's where we should go next. How are we going to know as a leader that we're getting better at this? Is it just going to be, would morale be a good way to judge, you know, how we're improving our positive outlook?
I think morale is an indicator, but I also think alignment, I also think how inspired, which I think is tied to morale, I think that is a good way of looking at it. I think you can begin to listen to a lot of the conversations in an organization to see if the positive outlook is having a ripple effect or not. You know, when people can say, it's tough, but we really feel good about the direction. So I think that is, morale is a good way to measure it.
You know, another way, if you think about, we talked about adaptability a few episodes ago. And one of the keys to adaptability is recognizing where you feel, where you're resistant, or what ideas are you resistant to. And that can also be linked to positive outlook. And what I mean by that is, when you look at like a new task or a new initiative, what is your tendency to look at it with an enthusiastic approach versus a resistant approach? And that can be an indication of positive outlook. What is your tendency? What are you prone to responding to new ideas, new situations?
Are some organizations better at inculcating their people with positive outlook?
I think some people are better, and organizations, at appreciating what they have versus critiquing what they don't have. So I think you will find some organizations that, by the very nature of people, they just tend to be more appreciative in nature. They will, even in a difficult situation, they will see the silver lining. They will look for the silver lining. And so what that does is energetically, it does shift people. And I think it's very important. You know, just like we said that positive and negative emotions, we need to embrace both. We need to embrace the fact that we are in some deep yogurt. And we also need to appreciate the learning or the opportunity that this challenge presents. So I think how one way to strengthen this within the organization is to get people to be more appreciative, to be grateful, to spend some time talking about what are we grateful for in this organization? What did we learn? We talked about last time in achievement orientation, this tolerance for learning. So every setback is an opportunity to learn and grow. So an organization with a positive outlook would frame it that way.
And remember, one of the keys to emotional intelligence is understanding that emotions are contagious. And so if the senior leader has a positive outlook, it's likely that that will have a trickle-down effect to the people underneath them.
So a leader can have a serious impact on helping his or her employees and the other people within that organization just by the way they conduct themselves in it, with a positive outlook that can spread.
Yes, they're setting the example for their people.
It could be as many as tenfold. So a senior leader, and I think many leaders underestimate this, that their actions, their words, their energy can be magnified at least 10 times over that of anyone else. So the contagion within that is significant.
And when we talk about the magnification, is it that tenfold? Is it greater the further away someone gets from the top of the food chain? I mean, do the middle managers get someone inspired and then the people that are way further down the road, do they really hang on those words when something positive comes from the top?
I don't have any statistics to support that, but I think your insight on that is dead on. I think it's bigger the farther away from the top that you get. I remember when I was coaching a CEO, an entrepreneur of a company 20 years ago, he was a very stoic, introverted a man who often would walk by people in the hallway as if they didn't exist. And it was in part not because he was ignoring them with intention, but he was so focused on what was going on in his head. And the further away these people were from that position, the more impacted negatively they were about being ignored.
And that reminds me of a meeting that was held at my wife's place of business about 4 or 5 years ago, I guess. And the big corporate head came in. This is someone who has thousands and thousands of people in the organization and was presenting to the entire building. And he spent half the time looking at his smartphone, worried about the stock quotes. And that didn't really inspire a positive image, you know, or a positive attitude about the company among the people that were in the room.
I think that speaks to this positive outlook and to self-awareness, being aware it's not just what you say, but it's what you do before you even say it. You said he was presenting. How present was he? So if people would feel that there was more of a positive outlook if they sensed that he was in tune to where they were at, not just when he was up front, but leading up to that. And this is why being really developing the witness and the observer, how our actions, not just our words coming across in presenting that positive outlook going forward. Very important to look at the whole body of knowledge there.
The definition of positive outlook is the persistence in pursuing goals despite the obstacles and setbacks. And the people who demonstrate this competency really well, they see the positive in people and situation events more than negative. It's not that they don't see negative, but they see the positive more than negative.
EI and You is produced by PLS. Executive producer, Ralph Simone. Research director, Cindy Massengill. Technical assistance provided by Matt Langley. I'm Mark Mangiacaro. For more information on emotional intelligence and other leadership development tools, visit discoverpls.com.